Welcome to the conference room with this week's guest, Taylor Fisher.
Don't have a flashing timer that's pushing people, or don't say, this is your final chance, and then send them an email, oh, this is your real final chance, and then another email, this is your actual... I've seen that, and it's ridiculous.
Welcome to The Conference Room, a weekly podcast where business leaders and growth experts kindly share their experiences, actionable tips, and secrets to successfully grow a business. If you like the podcast, don't forget to subscribe and leave us a five-star review. It'll really help us out. And I really hope you enjoy this week's episode. I'm Simon Lader. Welcome to The Conference Room. Good afternoon, and welcome to The Conference Room. I'm joined by Taylor Fisher. Taylor is the founder and CEO of Taylor Fisher Consulting. She's a sales page copywriter and strategist and helps people know what to say on their sales page and how to structure it. She's a graduate of Thomas Edison State University, where she received her bachelor's in communications. And over the past 5 years, she's helped dozens of companies and entrepreneurs scale their businesses by sharing her strategies and techniques for high-performing sales copy. And I'm delighted to say she's found time in a busy schedule to join us here in the conference room. So, Taylor Fisher, good afternoon, and welcome to the conference room.
Good afternoon. Thank you.
It's great to have you here. So, every hero has an origin story, and you're the hero of our story. So, tell me, how did you get from graduating university through to now being this sales page strategist that you are?
Sure. First, I started out in journalism and decided that there's aspects that I liked and aspects that I did not. So I moved on from that into the world of copywriting and just discovered this wonderful, supportive community of copywriters. I decided to start freelancing and I poured myself into learning everything I could about how to write really good copy and go for the conversion, and also how to run a copywriting freelance business. And after I started that, after a while, I moved into the agency world for about 3 years and then really missed a lot of the aspects of running my own business. So I came back to running my own copywriting business.
Okay, great stuff. So when you're going to a client, okay, what are the key problems your clients are experiencing that suggest that they have a problem that you can help solve?
Well, one, they feel like they can make more sales, and it's often their messaging, their copy, their language. We're going to talk today specifically about sales pages. In addition, another problem, they're very stressed. Sales pages are part of launching your course. It's a stressful process. That's a problem. It shouldn't feel stressful. It doesn't have to feel stressful. And they second guess themselves when they try to do it themselves, when they don't have like a solid proven process behind it. It's a lot of second guessing and not knowing if you're doing it right.
Right. Okay. So let's really dig into that then. So in your mind and from your experience, what are the key mistakes people are making when they write sales copy? What I want to do is let's dig into what people are doing wrong, and then we can talk about what people need to do it right. Okay. So let's start off with what in your experience are you seeing either from your clients or from just like, being online. Okay. Are the key mistakes people are making? What is bad sales copy?
Well, it starts before you even start to write. And the biggest mistake is that you're not talking to your clients. You're not talking to people who've already gone through the course that you're selling or who've already bought the service that you're providing. I can go and talk about why you should do those calls and how you should, or we can save that for later. But that is the biggest mistake. Before you even start writing, you need to talk to people that you've already served.
Okay, why is that? Let's talk about that now. Why is that?
The reason why is because, let's say you have a course, you're selling a course on how to speak French, and I take your course and I go through it, and you are looking at your sales page like, yeah, a few people have bought this, but I know I could make more sales. I know my course is super helpful, but you don't know what to put on there to show people why it's so helpful. Well, you need to come talk to me and to some other people who've already gone through your course. You need to find out what problems we were having that drove us to buy your course and how our life has changed since we bought your course. You can use what your customers tell you to guide you on what to put on your sales page, because that's what's going to resonate most.
Right. Okay. So what would you recommend to someone who hasn't actually sold any yet? Okay. As a sort of side point, right? Very often you'll hear people talking about, okay, it's really important to have customer testimonials. If you want to really sell something, you have to have social proof. Okay. But the problem is you've got a bit of a chicken and egg problem here, because if you haven't sold it, you can't have the social proof. Okay. Similarly, if you are struggling to make sales, if you've got a great product and you want to get it out there first off, okay, and you are struggling to sell it, then you won't necessarily have those customers to be able to either get testimonials from or even to get that before and after that. Here was my problem. Yeah. I did the course. Here's my transformation. Okay. So in the absence of that, what would you recommend that people do?
Sure. Yeah. I was actually talking to someone the other day, same problem. And I told her, go to Reddit, Quora, Facebook, find the groups. She teaches people how to save money specifically for vacations.
Oh, wow.
Specifically for Disneyland. Actually, it's a very niche offering. There are entire Facebook groups all about people who are vacationing to Disneyland and trying to plan it. And in those Facebook groups, we actually found some while I was talking to her. There's people who want to know, how do I save money for this? What are the things I should look for? You can go in Reddit. Reddit threads are really good too. You'll find people asking questions. You'll find people, you'll figure out what their problems are, what they're struggling with, what they want help with, which is where your offer comes in. So go to the places that your ideal audience is already at, read through the comments, read through the posts, and use those to inform you of what you need to tell them on the sales page. Because there's a couple of things you want your sales page to resonate with right away. You want people to feel like you understand their problems and where they're at, and you want them to understand that you can take them where you want them to be.
Where they want to be.
I'm sorry?
So you can take them where they want to be or where you want them to be?
Well, if you're trying to speak fluent French, why do you want to speak fluent French?
I see. Okay.
Yeah, maybe you have family members, you know, in-laws who speak it fluently, and you're always struggling with this language barrier. So if you have a course on that, you haven't sold it, you don't know what to put on your sales page, go find places where they're already at. Like I said, Facebook group, Reddit threads. You'll find all sorts of people there who are like, I'm having trouble with this, I'm struggling with this, how do I do this? You can use that, what you learn on your sales page, to immediately resonate with your audience so they feel like you really understand them.
Right. Okay. So how should a sales page be structured?
Yes. Oh, this is exciting, because I was just talking to somebody the other day who she had trouble writing it, but she really had trouble structuring it. She was very confused. She said, I don't know, do I put tons of detail in this? Do I talk more about myself or about this? So let me run you through kind of the structure. I think it's like about 15, 16 parts. You can Google sales page templates. You'll find lots that you can use. Almost all sales page templates in the core are pretty similar. There's kind of a proven process that has been shown to work well. So you'll start out with your headline.
So let's give a real life scenario. Okay. Let's say it's a course that's teaching people. Okay. Let's use our example. It's a course that's going to teach people, maybe something a little more business focused. Maybe it's teaching salespeople how to generate leads. Okay. A course specifically teaching salespeople how to generate leads. Okay. So how would we structure that?
Well, in your headline, either focus your headline on either the biggest problem that the salespeople have generating leads, or focus it on the biggest thing that they want. Like, I don't know, because
so
I
it's
can't
not
think on the
okay,
spot
well,
what they want.
okay, so let's say it is, so we're not just talking about generating leads. It's like, okay, well, why do you want to generate leads? I want to generate leads because I want to get more sales, or I want to, you know, smash my quota or whatever, right? So we're not, so you're, if I'm reading you right, you're not suggesting just say the thing, but what the thing leads to, right?
Yes, thank you. So like if you have a course on how to grow your social media following, and this
right.
is for people who can't grow their social media following, they're stuck. Well, the obvious answer is how to grow your social media following, but you need to talk to people in your ideal audience and find out why. Well, is it because they want to grow their business so they can spend more time with their kids? So they want to grow their business so they can have this much money so they can go travel? There's you dig deep and you find the deeper, the underlying reasons why.
Right.
The same could be true, like we talk how to speak French. Why do they want to speak French? Are they always regularly interacting with native speakers, and are they constantly struggling with this language barrier? Do they have family members who are native speakers? And when you talk to multiple people in your ideal audience, or you go and you comb through these Reddit threads and these Facebook groups, you'll find common themes, and you pull those out and you use those deeper common themes to focus your headline on and other parts of your page.
Right. That's really smart. I mean, if you think about the kind of commercials that you see on TV, they very, very rarely sell the product. They sell the transformation the product enables. I don't know why this example popped into my head, but if you think about like acne cream, it's not, do you want to buy acne cream or do you need acne cream? It's, do you want to not be socially awkward as a kind of teenager going to a party, right? That's what they're selling. The acne cream is just the vehicle by which that transformation is realized. So
yes.
I guess from what you're saying, the headline should just be transformation focused, not product focused. Yeah?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, cool. With you so far?
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. And then your next section, you're going to describe what they're struggling with, what their problems are. This is really where your sales page can come to life, because like I said, you'll find these common themes and these common struggles. Describe them in detail. That's when someone is reading your sales page. That's where they're like, man, this person gets me. This is exactly what I'm having trouble with. After that, your next section
So
is
again,
to...
sorry. So just to dig in then. So there, are we talking about the problems, or are we talking about the pain that the problems make the person experience? So for example, are we so again, I don't want to keep harking on about acne, but when we talk about, if we talk about something like that, are we talking about, we're not talking about the fact that, hey, you've got spots. Is it, hey, you went to that, you were about to go into this party, you looked at yourself in the mirror and you felt really socially awkward because you got like spots all over your face? Or again, with the generating leads, it's not you didn't have any leads, but you were really worried that not having leads meant you didn't know where your revenue was going to come from next quarter. Are we talking about pain, or are we just talking about the problems?
Pain. And I apologize. Sometimes I may speak in like jargon, or we may be on two different levels. When I say problem, I meant what you described when you said
okay,
pain.
Cool. All right.
Yeah,
okay,
that's
great stuff.
What you're going to talk about.
Okay, awesome.
And
great stuff
right after your headline. And then you're going to go into describing what they most want. Describing, and again, it's not, oh, I want more leads. Well, why do they want more leads? What's
Right.
the underlying, the thing that that they actually really want? So that'll be right after you describe their pain, then you're going to talk to what they really want.
Right. Okay. The desire, the transformation.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
And next section, people always have beliefs that are limiting Like this salesperson who's trying to get more leads might believe that they're just not working enough hours, when that's actually not true. They're working plenty of hours to get the amount of leads that they need. And so in this section, you want to list out a few of those things that they believe about themselves that are holding them back. And you want to show them, number one, this is not your fault. And number two, this is why it isn't your fault. Does that make sense?
Right. So, give me perhaps an example of how that might work, in maybe in our scenario of lead generation. So perhaps give me an example of that.
So like they might think they're just not spending enough hours, when actually, so you say, you think you're not spending enough hours, but actually you are spending plenty of hours to get the amount of leads that they want, to get what you really want in the end. However, the thing is, you've just been never properly taught how to really connect with a lead on a more personal level. It's not your fault. Here's why it's not your fault. And that's really freeing for that person reading your sales page. It frees them. They realize that it's not true, that it isn't their fault. It's not that they have to do XYZ. It's actually that they were never properly taught that they again, I'm hard. It's hard for me to think of examples on the fly, but are you following what I'm saying? Does it make
Yeah,
sense?
and like you say, that you're kind of giving them you're giving them the not necessarily the out, but kind of giving them reason to believe that this isn't an insurmountable problem. The reason, it's the diagram that people share a lot is where you got like a guy who's like digging a tunnel, and like the gold is right on the other side. There's just like 1 inch away. So is that what we're trying to sort of articulate? That it's like you're almost there, and that final thing, it's not your fault. You just don't have the right tool to penetrate that last inch of rock.
And
Right.
always, I'm gonna make a note here real quick, a side note. Always be honest. A lot of sales pages, especially people often feel, especially in the service provider world, they feel like, ooh, sales, that's bad. Sales are not bad. Sales are very good, because you're actually helping people who need what you're selling. And just be honest, don't try to make things up that aren't true as far as limiting beliefs or whatever. Or this will be later on in the page, but don't have a flashing timer that's pushing people. Or don't say, this is your final chance, and then send them an email, oh, this is your real final chance, and then another email, this is your actual. I've seen that, and it's ridiculous. Anyway, side note, as we talk about a sales page, just remember it can be very sincere, very empathetic, and heartfelt.
Right. Okay.
So we talk about the different things that they believe about themselves, and we show them why it's not their fault and why it's not true. And then the next section is when you announce your course. It's a very short and sweet, like introducing, your course name, like how to speak fluent French, how to generate more leads, whatever the name of your course is. It's just introducing your course, because we've kind of built that, we've already resonated with them. They feel like we understand them and what they want. It's time to introduce the course. If you have testimonials, definitely put them in here. And if not, it's okay. Everyone starts out without any testimonials. And then after that, you're going to talk about the benefits that your course provides. This is very similar to the transformation, and sometimes it's kind of intertwined. Benefits are not features. Features are things like downloadable templates, one-on-one calls, free access to a Facebook group. Those are features, the nuts and bolts of your course. Benefits are things like, you can start to think in this second language, or you can easily talk for an hour with your mother-in-law without using a translation app. Those are benefits. And like I said, they're very similar to how their life will change.
So
So that'll be your.
would you include features or just not yet?
Not yet.
Right,
Soon
okay.
after, yeah, but
Okay.
the most important part is showing people that they can get what they really want. A little bit later, we'll get into the details of the course.
Right, okay. So what would the difference be between a benefit and a transformation? Or is the benefit just more kind of a step behind the transfer? As in, I get the difference between features and benefits, but is it a case of the features create the benefit and the benefit creates the transformation?
Pretty much. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
And
okay.
they can be very similar, and you don't think too hard about it either
okay.
when you're building it out. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see. We just talked about the benefits section. So then the next one is the nuts and bolts. It's the features. If you have a course with 5 modules, this is where you'll break out each module and describe, you know, if you're offering one-on-one calls, Facebook group, this is where you go into detail. And this is a big deal. Like, people are on your sales page to find out what they're going to get. So don't skim over this. Take thought and tell everybody what they'll get from your every little thing that you're offering.
Okay.
And then we go into like your about me section. I'm sorry. Let me back up. So after we go into the nuts and bolts, then we're going to talk about why your audience is perfect for this course. An easy way to think about this section is to think of it like a this is perfect for you if. Like, this is perfect for you if you're spending, you know, 30 hours a week grinding the wheels at trying to make more leads, if you're already doing cold calls, if you've already tried the free YouTube videos. This is basically a list of, it helps them feel like it's exactly for them. It's like qualifying them a lot of, because you don't want anyone to think, well, this would be perfect, but it's not really perfect for me. Like, it's not going to work for me. If they're on your page, if they're your ideal audience, you need to show them, no, this is perfect for you. And here's what qualifies you. You've already done this. You've already done that. You're doing this. This is the person that my course is perfect for.
Right.
So that's what this section is about.
Okay, what's next?
Okay, and then the next thing, it will be like your guarantee, your 30-day money back guarantee. I do want to make a note on a guarantee. 30-day money back is pretty common. I encourage people to go beyond that if they're comfortable with it. If you can even give 6 months or even a year money back guarantee, what it does is it helps take people's eyes off the timer. You know, when you have a 30-day money-back guarantee, you're thinking, okay, I got to make sure I get all this done before 30 days, and this is worth it. When you extend that guarantee out, it makes people feel a lot more confident and a lot more relaxed, and they can focus on actually using your material and instead of making sure they get their money back. You do have to take into account, obviously, it's a business decision. If you're concerned that people, too many people, will try to get their money back a year later, but it most likely is you're not going to have a ton of people trying to get their money back a year later.
Right.
Unless they genuinely feel like your course wasn't for them. And most of those people, you'll already have weeded out in your sales page. They'll have checked themselves out.
Yeah.
Anyway, so just a note about how to make your guarantee a lot stronger and make people feel a lot more confident. Then you're going to have your About Me section. You're going to introduce yourself, you know, give your qualifications, credentials, any personal stories. Talk about why you are, why they should listen to you. Then you'll do your FAQs, frequently asked questions. This, again, helps give people peace of mind. It helps answer all their questions up front. And then after that, you want to have like a, just, it can be a simple side-by-side comparison table. You'll have your course, and then you'll compare it to other options. And this doesn't mean like calling out competitors by names. Other options includes things they've already done, like trying to download every free resource on the face of the planet, you know, spending hours doing this. So you just want to compare why yours is better than all the other things. And again, we're being truthful. We're being honest. You don't have to feel like you have to have a perfect answer or make something up. It's just honesty.
Right.
The next section, if you have any urgency, if your doors are closing in 2 days, that's where you'll mention this. And then your next section, it's really important. You want it to be very heartfelt. I just saw on Instagram the other day, there was an ad, and it literally said, you will struggle with this for the rest of your life if you don't get XYZ. And that's pushy and aggressive and doesn't make people feel good. You're going to get more people to trust you if you have a much more heartfelt, genuine, empathetic close to your sales page, or close to close. We're almost done. The last section is you
So,
just
what would
want
an
to.
example of a more heartfelt, empathetic sales page be? What kind of sorry, close. What kind of language would you suggest people use?
Well, you could say something like, let me think for a second. Don't focus on like negative words, like you'll never, you'll always struggle. Avoid that. Focus on language like, it's time that you take control of your lead generation and, get that transformation.
Right, okay. Something empowering and positive rather than
Yes.
fearful. Okay.
Yes. And then after that, you're going to summarize your offer, remind people of what they'll get. Your buy now button will be here. You will also sprinkle your buy now button a little bit in other pages and other sections of the page, because most people aren't going to read all the way to the bottom, and a lot of people are ready to buy higher up. And if you have testimonials, put those at the bottom as well. And that's, I think that's 15, 16 sections. That's sales pages are long, but when you break it out like that, it's you can tackle it and feel like it's doable.
Wow, that's amazing. Wow, wait, fantastic. Okay, so within that framework, okay, what would you say are the most if people were going to concentrate on any singular part of that, like really, really nail it, what would you say are the key elements that would you, if people were going to really focus and get one or two parts absolutely right, what would you say those should be?
Well, absolutely the headline, because that's immediately what pops out.
Yeah.
And then after that, it's gonna be the following two sections. After it's
Right.
gonna be the first is gonna be your headline, and then it's gonna be a description of their pain, and then the description of the transformation. And
Right.
remember, you can be specific. Do not specific is always better than general. Do not try to be general. Use specific examples that you got when you talk to people, or when you looked in these Facebook groups and you saw these specific struggles. Being specific always resonates much, much
Right.
better than being general.
Okay, great stuff. I just want to come back to something you said a little earlier about false urgency, okay? Because something that like Russell Brunson talks about a lot is giving people a reason to buy now and creating that urgency, okay? And I know that Stuart McLaren, the course guy, he talks a lot about that as well, about having closed carts and saying, this is only going to open from then till then, because you don't want somebody to come on and go, yeah, this looks really, really good, but I don't have to deal with it right now. I can come back to it in a day, a week, a month, right? So that sounds like something that you're not necessarily a fan of. Okay. So, first of all, why does that not really kind of sit comfortably with you? And how would you encourage people to buy now if there wasn't that urgency?
No, I am a fan of urgency. Urgency is fine, but it needs to be genuine.
Oh, okay, fine.
I've received emails, sales emails before that said it was my last chance to buy a product. And then you get another one 2 days later, so this is your actual final last chance.
Right.
So that first time, it really wasn't. You want to be genuine. You can have a countdown timer is not bad in and of itself. And a flashing button is not bad in and of itself. And urgency is good. People are more likely to buy when your cart closes in 2 weeks than when it's open forever.
Right.
But just be honest, and that's really what it comes down to. Because there's a lot of honest sales pages, but a lot of people have come across some icky, pushy, aggressive sounding sales tactics.
Right. Okay. Cool. So can you give me some examples of where you kind of seen a marked difference between the results someone's gotten from having a perhaps not particularly well written or well researched sales page, and then you've kind of come in, help them, and they've seen a significant transformation. Give me perhaps an example of where you've actually seen this success really work.
Sure. Yeah. I had a client who was a nonprofit consultant, and she was doing a conference, an annual conference every year. And she brought me in to help her sell tickets to it. And she had never talked to like her clients before about it and what they really got out of it. So we went through that whole process that I just described to you, and she got 30% more than her goal was.
Wow,
So
that's
she was very
amazing.
happy with that.
Yeah, I bet she
Yeah.
was. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay, great stuff.
Yeah. There's.
Sorry, go on.
Oh, I was just going to say there is another time there is an insurance company who, and this was actually their Facebook ads because these principles aren't, they're not just for, they're for any sales copy at any point in the funnel. So their Facebook ads were not performing well. And we went through the whole process and we actually, what told the story of one of their customers in the Facebook ad, because it was a long ad. Facebook ads do not have to stay within the character suggestions. You actually want them to be longer. And they tripled, their results tripled, their click-through rates. So
Wow, wait.
you'll get a lot more conversions
Wow.
when you resonate with your audience than when you don't resonate with your audience.
Wow, that's amazing. And do you think this format would work when people are doing video sales letters as well? Because a lot of times you'll see, I mean, people consume data differently, right? So me, I think rather watch a 2 or 3 minute video than necessarily read a long sales page. Okay, so if someone's aiming a sales page at me, okay, and they use a little like a video, would this format work? Would you recommend using this format for the video element of it as well, as in using this structure when doing the video?
The structure as far as like the 15, 16 sections I talked about, or like talking to people and knowing what your audience.
Going through these 15, 16 sections verbally rather than in writing, or verbally and then in writing.
Okay. I don't deal much with VSLs. I do know I can refer you on or people on who
Okay.
do into that. I can't answer that as far as the structure of a 2 to 3 minute video because it's a completely different format than
Yeah.
an actual written sales page. But as far as knowing your audience really well and resonating with them, those principles and that process of talking to your audience, asking follow-up questions, when you talk to them, record the conversations, transcribe them with something like a free, you know, Otter is a free transcription service, and then go through them, copy and paste out when they talk about their struggles, their pain, they talk about their transformation, they talk about results. Those are some practical things that you can do, whether it's a VSL or a regular sales page or emails or Facebook ads, so that you know what to focus on.
Right. Okay. That's great. Okay. So this may just be sort of summarizing what we've already said, but what three tips would you give to somebody that wants to be super successful in writing sales copy?
Yep, it will be pretty much a summary, but number one, talk to people who've already gone through your course, program, membership, service. Or if you don't have anybody, go find where they hang out, do a little search on Facebook and join those groups. And then go through and pull out their problems, what they most want. Focus your headline and first two sections on that. And then the second one is just remember to be honest and be genuine and empathetic. You don't have to be anybody other than yourself.
Right. Okay. That's great. Okay. So, Taylor, what's next for you and for your business?
What's next? We are just going to focus on sales. That's what we do. We get out there and we help people and we focus on helping them grow their business. And when their business grows, ours grows.
Fantastic. And if people wanted to work with you, or reach out to you, what's the best way for them to do that?
They can email me at taylor@taylorfisherconsulting.com. You can also go to my website at taylorfisherconsulting.com. And you can download pretty much everything I talked about today if you want to keep it in front of you. You don't have to give me your email address, it's just free there on the site.
Fantastic. I'll make sure there's a link to that in the show notes. Taylor, thank you so much for coming into the conference room. I've learned so much. I mean, I have to tell you, I've written and I have helped people out with sales pages. None of them have followed the format that you've suggested, and that's probably why none of them have performed that well. So it's really good to know what a really great format would be. And you've really helped kind of put some context around the methodology for writing really good sales pages. So thank you very, very much for joining us here.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Coming up next week on The Conference Room, I'll be talking to global sales leader, Brandon Conley.
So I think the most successful reps are the ones that maximize every route to market. And it's going to be different from geography to geography on what the best routes to market are. But the good reps figure that out, and they allocate their time and their energy and their resources appropriately. So everyone's got to have, you know, different buckets of pipeline to fall back on in any given quarter.
Thanks so much for listening. We really appreciate it. And make sure you visit our website, theconferenceroompodcast.com, to see all the other episodes and to get access to the show notes and resources mentioned in this episode. If you enjoyed the episode, please share it with your network, or better still, go on to Apple Podcasts or Spotify or any other podcast platform and leave us a 5-star review. It'll only take you a moment, but it'll mean the world to us. And please don't hesitate to tell us which topics you'd like us to cover in future episodes. To get in touch, drop us a line in the comments section or send us a message on social media. Just search for The Conference Room Podcast or me, Simon Lader, on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, or TikTok. I'm always open to a conversation. And don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you'll be alerted when a new episode goes live every week. Thanks so much for listening to The Conference Room, and until next time, keep talking.